I want to bring in Tim Wenger, who spent 40 years at WBN, was my mentor here, gave me a job, is in the Hall of Fame himself. And this is a tough day for all of us in Western New York, not just at WBN. Tim, thank you for taking time.
David, thank you. And, you know, just listening to the Sandy Beach opening, you know, makes me smile. But it also brings a tear to my eye today to pass along the very sad news that Sandy has passed at the age of 86. It has been a very difficult week for sure, learning of this. And, you know, he meant so much to so many of us, myself included. And I know you as well. And I told you yesterday how much you meant to him. Just such an amazing broadcaster, such an amazing person. You know, I put on Facebook and that he is a legendary broadcaster. And in my world, he is a legendary friend. You know, it's amazing because I was terrified to work with Sandy. I go back to the 1980s, mid-1980s, and I had an internship with Mary Travers at KB Radio on Delaware Avenue, and Sandy was the program director there, and I had to encounter him a couple times, and I was terrified of the guy. I mean, I grew up listening to him and intimidated by him, and then to ultimately move on into the, you know, the late 90s and have the opportunity to become his manager and bring him back to Buffalo was surreal to me. It was terrifying to me. Sandy and I had our ups and our downs, and the ups will always overshadow any downs that we had. He taught me so much. I know he taught you so much. It is really a bittersweet and difficult day for us, but it is a day to celebrate too. It's a day to celebrate an amazing broadcaster, friend, family member of all of ours. And that wit, that cutting humor, all of it, he had right up until the very end. So very sad today, for sure. And I want to celebrate this day. I want to celebrate his life. I want to smile. You know, it's okay to cry, but he would want us to laugh and smile. And there's so many memories of him. More memories of Sandy make you laugh than make you cry, for sure, right?
Well, that's the thing. No one would question the intellect of Sandy Beach. He was whip smart and knew what he was talking about. Never once when a caller would call in or a guest, he knew everything about what he was talking about. He was prepared. He did his work. But the thing that's always going to shadow his intellect is how absolutely funny Sandy Beach was. His humor was just, I mean, everything was a joke. And then when he got serious, it made it all the more, you know, underlined and important how serious his topic that he was talking about. But it's just everything was the laugh, how he made you laugh. He never laughed alone because you knew there were thousands of people laughing with him. He's been to, what, Hartford, Dallas. He did every job in this industry. And, you know, you look at the Hall of Fame career, three-time Hall of Fame career, and you said famously the story is, When you got put in charge of a radio station, you had one responsibility, and this was your first goal. If you got this gig, you were going to do what? And you did it.
Yeah, I was asked by then Greg Reed, who was taking over the station. He's like, what would you do? What would you do if you got this job of programming WBEN? I was the news director at the time. I said, you know what? I said, Sandy Beach is in Milwaukee. And Milwaukee doesn't deserve Sandy Beach. He's doing a country morning show at that time in Milwaukee and doing a bang up job. He took that from 10th place to like second place in a matter of just a few years. But anyways, that's not what he needed to be doing. He needed to be back in Buffalo. He did a very brief stint prior to Milwaukee doing talk on WGR after he was let go on 102. And he was pretty darn good at it. And we brought him back, and the rest is history, man. I never looked back. You know, he did 9 to noon. He did 3 to 6. And he just, He took it and ran with it. You know this, David, you know it firsthand. You can't fake good talk radio. You cannot fake it. You live it, and you're either good at it or you're not. Sandy just had that innate ability with his intelligence, with his humor, and to merge those two together, man, to make, communicating his thoughts and ideas and bringing our community to think about things in different ways. Just amazing, amazing. And he never faked it. It was real. When he said it, he meant it. When he laughed, he meant to laugh. And when he cried, he meant to cry. He just was such a real person. And that's all he demanded in you and I and anyone he encountered in his life, was that respect of being real to him. I learned that the hard way. There was no negotiating really with Sandy. You didn't negotiate with him. You just told him here, and I'm not talking about contracts right now, but that's true too. But you did not negotiate with his life. You just simply told him how you felt, and he told you how he felt, and then you figured it out. If you tried to negotiate emotion with him, it wasn't going to work out. My most famous incident with him, I would say, where I learned a life lesson, was early on in managing him. And it's hard to say managing him, but I was his manager, I guess. Where we had an issue that he didn't want to do something. He just didn't want to do something. And I didn't understand why, but he told me he didn't want to do it. And it was a sales related thing. And people were trying to get him to do it. And then I caved and tried to get him to do it. And man, what a mistake that was. Because he sat in my office one day, towered over my desk with his two hands on my desk and screamed in my face these words that I'll never forget. They're not prophetic, but they're meaningful. You're either there for me when I need you, or and I'll say, hell with you. He didn't say that. But I'm telling you, that's all he wanted. You're either there for me when I need you, or forget you. And that was Sandy Beach. And the minute I figured that out, that's the respect we had for one another. I was there for him. He was there for me. And we walked down a path of what I think was greatness on the radio. Just amazing. Amazing person.
Generational talent, Sandy Beach, 3 Halls of Fame, passes away at the age of 86. And, for the limited amount of time that I was lucky enough to know Sandy Beach, there were 2 Sandy Beaches. There was the radio guy, and then something happened in his life. We would later find out was he met the love of his life. And Bernadette, when she becomes Sandy's wife, he's a totally different person. And just a wonderful, I just saw joy, laughing far more, happy at everything. One of the greatest moments of my life, and I mean this 100% with sincerity, was getting weekend calls from Bernadette and Sandy. Just on the weekend, we would talk about the world. We'd talk about politics. We'd talk about the show. We'd talk about you. We would talk about everything. And it was so neat that you've got this person you've idolized for so long that you always wanted to be in the clubhouse with. And now, there's accessibility and you get to see what's going on in that brain. And how much, he was still processing everything that's going on nationally, locally, everything. He was still doing a talk show. It just wasn't on the air, but he was doing it every single day. But that was a real huge moment, I think, for we could see that transformation when he met his wife, and he just was full of joy and so happy. And what a great couple they are.
Yeah, Bernadette is amazingly strong, incredible woman. And, Susan and I love her, like family too, is like we did Sandy. Sandy, when I first met him, had Cindy, and Cindy tragically passed. And I thought he would never be write and thought he would never be right again. And then, you know, after some time passed and Bernadette entered his life, it was unbelievable. The tide changed, and you're right, he found the love of his life. You know, they cared for one another the way two people, you know, few people, I guess, can do. And it was such an honor to be at their wedding. It's one of few later in life weddings that I've been to, and how meaningful it was. And the two were just meant for one another. And they shared everything together. They shared humor, they shared anger, they shared every emotion in the book. And she was a curator too of his historic career. And you'll start to see that, I think, come out here in coming days. She kept all of that alive as well as having the personal and loving relationship that the two of them had as husband and wife. So remarkable woman. That wedding was an amazing, amazing time, amazing thing for us to be at and witness. And, you know, she meant the world to him for sure. Absolutely.
Well, when Sandy came up in radio, the disc jockey, it wasn't a radio host. It became a radio host. But so many people went from that era of radio and tried to go into talk radio, and they were just abysmal failures because it was a completely different discipline. And Sandy not only hit it and knocked it out of the park, but there was something that was really strange in the career of Sandy Beach, where local politicians thought that Sandy Beach was going to be a cupcake softball interview, that they thought, this is a funny guy, he's just going to ask questions, and you know, like you might get on a TV interview. And boy oh boy, Sandy Beach was, if you were dishonest or he caught you and you didn't know the facts, or you were trying to fog or smoke screen Sandy Beach, he shredded you. And there are at least three names in my head of political careers that ended because they thought they were going to go and talk to Sandy Beach and just, you know, Mr. Magoo through an interview. And boy, oh boy, that was one of the toughest interviews in all of Western New York, was sitting down with Sandy Beach.
You bet, man. He read everything. You couldn't hide anything from him. I would go into his office, or he'd come into my office, and he literally had stacks of stuff that he had read for whatever he was talking about or whoever he was about to talk about. There was no hiding anything from him. He read it all, and he found out what he needed to know to ask the right questions. He didn't set out to, you know, put someone under. That wasn't his goal. But he just asked the right questions, and sometimes that's where it led, and justifiably so, I guess. But you are absolutely right. He was not a puffball interview. He always, you know, he would say, I would love 5 minutes with that person, you know, in just insert the name of so many people. And quickly people began to figure out, well, maybe I better not go on with Sandy Beach. You know, that became somewhat problematic. You have a bit of that innate ability and problem in your life and career.
I've learned a lot from him. And I learned more from Sandy Beach by not listening to him on the radio, but just watching him. Tony Robbins has this thing about mentors, and you know, if you want to have someone's career or be like them, you just watch them and copy what they do. The way he moved around the newsroom, the way he conducted himself with people and his coworkers, there was just this idea that, you know, when Josh Allen's in the locker room, you know who your star is. It's Josh Allen. His goal here was not to be the star. His goal was to leave his jersey, you know, to put his jersey into a locker. And when he took it out, it was a better locker room. It was a better company. And that really, his legacy was the station and WBN and making WBN better than when he got here. And that was very clear of, you know, certainly he was proud and he was Sandy Beach and he never, no one forgot it was Sandy Beach, but it was the pride in the organization and in the team. He wanted to leave WBN a better station than when he got here. And I think he did, without doubt.
100%. And he, I mean, his preparation mode, I used to watch him. He was like a human computer before computers were even as, you know, involved in our daily lives as they are right now. He would, you know, his show was at nine when his first shift was nine to noon. You know, he'd be in before 6 o'clock in the morning and you'd watch him. And when you would talk to him and you'd see him interact with people, I used to see this thing in his eye, in his facial expression, where he would, something would lock, someone would say something to him, or he'd be passing someone in the hall, and I would just see that look, and it was like hitting the enter button on, okay, this has just been admitted as a piece of the show at 9 o'clock. And sure enough, I'd turn the radio on at 9 o'clock, and there it was. That encounter in the hallway turns into, you know, 30 minutes of his show. His preparation was just, it was, as you know, 24/7, constantly. You know, Bernadette would tell us, we had the privilege of continuing our relationship with Sandy after his retirement. She said he was literally doing shows in their living room, you know, for her. You know, he would just, you know, go into a rant and just his preparation was unending. And, you know, and I talk about him as an intimidating figure. Certainly in my life, for sure, I learned, you know, we learned how to love and respect each other. Let me tell you a soft side of Sandy, too. This is a great story. Very few people know. Our kids grew up in the hallways of that building. And, you know, we would bring them in. And Susan worked early. I worked during the day. I'd bring the kids. We'd trade them. The kids would, they got to know Sandy pretty well. I used to bring Sandy a newspaper every day when the Buffalo Newsletter, you know, is delivered in paper every day. I used to deliver it to his office. And unbeknownst to me, Sandy would take a dollar, because that's what the paper costs at one point in our lives. He'd put a dollar into his drawer and never tell me about it. Then one day the kids walked into his office. These two little, you know, kids, I don't know how old they were, but they weren't in school. And he said, you know, your dad brings me a newspaper every day. And if I went out and bought a newspaper every day, it would be a dollar. He pulls open his drawer and he's got stacks of dollar bills. And he says, this is yours. He goes, every day when I get the newspaper, I put a dollar in the drawer and this money is for you too. And our kids went nuts. And then, of course, every, you know, when are we going to work? When are we going to go see Sandy? He's got a, you know, more dollar bills for us. Little things like that he did that, you know, that's not the Sandy Beach people knew. That's the Sandy Beach that I knew, that you knew, that all of us that worked with him knew. He was a teddy bear, but he put on that knight of shining armor when he needed to. And just an amazing talent. And I miss him. I've missed him since he retired on the air, and now I have to miss him as a person in my life because he's not there.
Nation that would dare pull a coup like that. All right, we spotted license plate number 795NIX, as in Nix, okay? Is that your license plate number? Huh? You have 15 minutes to call KB Radio at 644-9850 and win $65 in KB cash, which you can use to shop through our prize catalog at WKBW. License number 795NIX. That's Waterloo from KB Radio 15. Congratulations to Gene Conway of Cheektowaga, who won $100 in KB cash. You could be our next winner sometime in this hour. This is Sandy Beach for Don Burns with Elton John.
KB Radio, WKBW.
That was Sandy Beach in 1974, and that's courtesy of Steve Cishan, who covered Buffalo Broadcast. Buffalo Broadcasting, Steve Cishan, they have analogued and just put into these archives all this amazing, you know, the heritage of communications and radio, TV. They do a great service. But that's Sandy Beach from July 4th of 1974 on WKBW Radio. Of Radio 15, Sandy Beach in 1974. And they were, what, reading license plates giving $65 away to folks. And we've got so many incredible classics from Sandy Beach over the years. When WIVB, WBEN had the exact, same building, Sandy's walking through the halls, telling people, you know, giving tours, doing his round table. Sandy Beach passes away at 86, 60-plus years in radio, three halls of fame, and not just in Buffalo, but Concord, Hartford, and Dallas. And, of course, back in the day, we've got Tim Wenger that has joined us. We've got two Hall of Famers, actually. We've got Susan Rose, Hall of Famer, Buffalo Broadcaster Hall of Famer, and, again, host of A New Morning with Brian and Susan here on WBEN, the number one morning show for forever. And Tim Wenger, who spent 40 years here at WBEN and both loved and knew Sandy Beach. Susan, you had a very special relationship with Sandy.
I did.
And you obviously adored each other, and I'm sure this is very difficult for you as it is for so many people here.
I think this is the hardest day that I've worked here. I keep telling myself I'll have a good cry later on, but it's so hard because he loved us and we loved him. Sandy was, I know Ted, Tim mentioned he was like a teddy bear, and he was just such a wonderful, kind, generous person. And when you're a friend of Sandy's, you are a friend for life. And it's really left a hole in my heart. I got to tell you.
You know, David, we would, Susan, myself, and some others would get together with Sandy, thanks to Bernadette. She would be the social coordinator and get us to come over for dinner. And, you know, we did that earlier this year and, you know, you'd plan for 2 hours and it was, 6 hours of sitting around a table and sharing stories and just having a blast. We were trying to coordinate another one recently, and dates didn't match up. Now I go to sleep at night, staring at the ceiling thinking, oh my God, why didn't we do this date or that date or whatever? We should have done this. But we were trying to get a date together. But Susan and I were recently down in Cleveland, and we've been to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We did a radio show from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame after it opened. We've been in there, and it's like been there, done that. But something was telling us a couple weeks ago when we were there, like, go.
You're right.
Like,
go
to the Hall of Fame. Pay the admission and let's go in. We literally went into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame where people spend a day. And we, throttled our way to the floor where Sandy's air check is and put the headphones on and we listened to it and we listened to Danny's. And I sent Bernadette a picture of, where we were. And I'm telling you, it's like Sandy sent us there. We really had no intention to go to the Hall of Fame when we were there a couple weeks ago, and we did. And I'm glad we did.
Oh, we're so glad we did.
Yeah, he'll be there forever. He will be there forever.
A couple of things, because these are stories that I don't think have been told before. Maybe they were at the time, but it's been so many years. Sandy and I don't know, just hit it off when he came back to Buffalo from Milwaukee. He always joked he wanted Larry Levitt to have me as his news person, and Larry wouldn't let him. But you know what? It didn't matter because we saw each other every day, and we just had a great time. But some of the things he did for me personally, shortly after he came, somehow we were talking about horse racing somewhere, and I said I had never been to a track for that. Well, Sandy's like, well, you've got to go to the track. So we set a date. He was taking me to lunch, Ford Erie. I can't remember the sports car that he picked me up in, but Sandy's had dozens and dozens of cars. It was some cool convertible sports car. And we went to Ford Erie, had lunch. He's explaining how to wager. And it was a blast. We were there all afternoon, had such a good time. Another instance was many years ago, Sandy had an RV. And this was, not just a, fifth wheel or anything. This was an RV with the sides that bump out. It was the nicest RV I've ever been in my life. And I had mentioned something about that. Anyway, long story short, he invited myself and my sisters, Colleen and Sheila, to go in the RV. He would drive us to the outlet mall at the Finger Lakes. We'd have a day there and have lunch. Well, I mean, that was paradise. It was an absolute blast. I'll never forget that, and my sisters won't either. You know, we had a full day of shopping, went back to the RV. Sandy had lunch ready for us, and we went back shopping. Sandy never went into a store, but he loved driving us there. And then another instance was just a few years ago. André Rieu is a Dutch violinist, conductor. He's adored by millions and millions of fans. Sandy and Bernie had seen André Rieu somewhere in Europe on one of their trips. And André Rieu had a concert here in Buffalo KeyBank Center. And André Rieu, somehow they got like front row seats to see this concert. They had four tickets. They invited my parents to go with them. That meant so much to me that they would do that. And they had such a great time. They absolutely loved it. And it turns out it was the last event that my dad went to. So I'm just, these are just some things that Sandy did. When our kids were born, I know Tim talked about how Sandy gave them dollars from newspapers, but he did shows right after they were born. And that meant so much to us. I mean, he was like a proud grandpa. He really was.
You know, that Sandy Beach, we're talking about the legendary Sandy Beach, generational talent. He passes away at 86 years of age, 60 years in an industry, beloved. This was his show, this audience. This is the audience that he built. And we're hearing from Susan Rose, Hall of Famer herself, and host of our morning show, Tim Wenger, 40 years, Buffalo Broadcaster Hall of Fame. You know, you talk about that Sandy Beach RV. I think that spent some time outside of Central Terminal for about 25 years.
No.
Is that the same?
No.
Different RV.
That was
I apologize.
Not the RV.
Different RV. I don't want to confuse RVs.
Much different RV.
Yeah, okay, all right. But the thing that we're hearing these stories, and this is heartbreaking news, obviously. We're sad, but at the same time, these flood of memories come back.
Right. And it's a way to celebrate him, too.
It's celebrating a beautiful life. I don't think people understand, especially younger people, that at the time that Sandy Beach cut his teeth in radio, that it wasn't just about regional talent being, you know, getting name recognition regionally, but Sandy Beach had a national reach because of local radio at a time when, you know, and Tim could probably go into the minutiae of why the signals have changed and what the court said about the, you know, FCC and everything else. But, you know, Sandy Beach was a name that was dropped on an episode of WKRP in Cincinnati. That was a national sitcom threw out his name and everyone knew who Sandy Beach was. When you were doing radio in the golden era of radio, you weren't just Buffalo celebrity. You weren't just New York State celebrity. You were nationally known, and Sandy Beach had that reputation. Tim, the way that radio has evolved over the years and how a Buffalo talent could be heard in the Eastern Seaboard and in Texas.
Yeah, it's, you know, he was so proud of his KB days, David. It was unbelievable. And it was all justified. You know, I mentioned that I interned back in the mid-80s for, not for Sandy, but for Mary Travers in the newsroom, but and saw that up close and personal. But I grew up listening to Sandy on KB radio. And KB is a 50,000-watt clear channel signal, and that simply means it's 50,000 watts off that transmitter, 360 degrees, and it skips off the atmosphere. You can hear KB in Europe. You can hear KB in Florida. You can hear KB everywhere. And people knew who Sandy Beach was because of that. And he quickly became known as a legend, as a disc jockey, you know, as a disc jockey. And I thought that's where he would be, that would be his radio legacy would be being a disc jockey and then, you know, being a renowned program director too for a top 40 radio station like KB, which was a trend-setting station in the country. Buffalo, you know, Radio Days always was above its weight class, and Sandy was noticed, and he could have gone anywhere, and he did. He went to Dallas. He went to other places. But really, his legacy in my mind is how he adapted that top 40, you know, quick break mentality into turning it into an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, and just so seamlessly helping with the transition of music radio into talk radio. He was simply a trailblazer in that, and he made it seem so simple. And I know it wasn't, because I saw the work behind the scenes that went into it. You know, I talked about how he would prepare and read, but when he sat down and that open played, like you played, you know, just under an hour ago, and he hit the on button on the microphone, it was like magic. He just made it look so simple, and it wasn't simple. But it's all his legacy, right? It's, you know, his early years as a disc jockey, working with Danny, being the program director of KB, going elsewhere, you know, cutting his teeth. But then that transition to talk radio, you know, that's the legacy I most clearly remember, obviously, because I worked with him. Just an amazing talent, and I can't say it enough, an amazing person.
And Tim, don't you think that maybe because of his KB days and all of that, that that really helped him so much as a talk radio host, that made him really stand out? I mean, his interviewing skills were just amazing. I learned so much from him as to how he interviewed people and would get something out of somebody you'd never expect.
Absolutely. David was talking about this earlier, about how, you know, he was probably the guy that you didn't want to interview if he had something to hide, because he could get it out of you. He would make you laugh. He would ask you the questions that perhaps, you know, as you would know, maybe a news person wouldn't ask. Personal questions, fun questions, you know, quippy questions. Then all of a sudden would be that question, right? The one that would get you. And you'd be, and they would be like, "Oh my gosh, he got me," and he did. He knew how to get inside the mind of whoever it was that he was speaking to, and he knew how to engage the audience in that process. Just remarkable, and it absolutely his top 40 proving ground. I don't want to diminish the importance of all of that, but that is what made him so good at what he did, because he knew how to entertain. You know, someone I never had to explain to Sandy that when you're talking about something that the audience is engaging with and enjoying, you would have to say to people all the time, you're going to become bored with that long before the audience is, because you're here every day, you have headphones on, you're listening to it. You get bored before the audience. And Sandy would look at me and say, "Yeah, I know. I played the same song every 15 minutes for, you know, 40 years on the radio, and I couldn't stand playing the same song over and over again, but I knew why I did it." And that's because Sandy became a program director of a top 40 radio station, and he knew you played the hits, because the hits work. And that's what he did as talk radio. He took the topics that were hits, and he didn't talk about them for 10 minutes. He talked about them for 3 hours, 3 days, 3 weeks if he needed to. And he'd be bored. And he'd come in my office and say, "I cannot talk about the Peace Bridge one more day." And I would look at him and I'd say, "You got one more in you, Sandy. one more.
One more. And you can do it."
And it's the hit. It's the top hit.
We remember the life and legacy of Sandy Beach, who's passed away at 86. Three Halls of Fame. We've got two Hall of Famers right here, Tim Wenger and Susan Rose, and they join us. And Susan, we were talking about legacy, and, you know, it's not something that, you know, in the NFL, they have the coaching trees, what coach produces, how much talent, and that's their legacy. Mm. And you look at Sandy Beach's, and I mean, I look around what is just in this building and who's been impacted, and that really is a continuation. The selflessness he had to take pride in someone else's achievement. When you made the Buffalo Broadcasters Hall of Fame, he was proud of that.
Oh, like, he was so proud.
That was something he you know, you made it, and he always knew that you had this in you, and that was a part of his legacy, too.
He was your biggest cheerleader. He really was, and it wasn't, he was never out for himself or anything. He always thought of others. He was just your biggest booster. He would give me ideas. I probably gave him a couple, but not as many as he gave me over the years. His legacy is going to live on. I mean, just looking, a company-wide email went out this morning. Actually, it was Tim sent a letter to everybody just saying, you know, what had happened and how he touched so many lives here. And there's so many people that have responded to this, because if you knew Sandy, you loved Sandy. I think we need to rename the studio, the Sandy Beach WBEN studio, I think.
That's a great idea.
I'll tell you, he's everywhere in the building and on the station. It's a part of our DNA. You know, the other thing with Sandy, he loved his cars. You mentioned that.
Right.
That guy, he always talks about his flat feet. It limited him from serving in the military. But Sandy Beach could shoot. And was, I mean, he loved his Second Amendment.
Oh, absolutely. He did. He never took me to the firing range, though, I gotta say that.
Yeah, he was quite, and because of his frame, he could, you know, the 45, his hands were enormous. And so he could grab a firearm that most people wouldn't even, you know, think about home defense. And he had hand cannons. He would absolutely.
They were cannons, you're right.
They were. And not hesitate to exploit all the rules of Niagara County to his advantage. He was a force of nature.
You know, another thing, too.
Go ahead.
I was just thinking about Bernadette. I mean, who is so strong throughout this. But I wanted to say that Sandy's love for WBEN is so deep. He got engaged to Bernadette in this studio that I'm sitting in right now. Remember that? He got engaged to her here. That's how much he loved what he did and where he worked. I mean, to do that at WBEN, I don't know of anyone else that's done that. And their wedding was so nice, so intimate, with, you know, dozens of friends that were there with them at Webster's in North Tonawanda. Absolutely beautiful. I'm going to post a picture on social media in a little while. But I mean, if you knew Sandy, you knew Bernadette. She is such a wonderful person. She was so good for him. And, you know, a year after they got married, they invited everybody who was at the wedding to an event. They rented out the Moon Dance out on the waterfront and took everybody sailing a year after for their very first anniversary. And that was just such a wonderful thing. Everybody absolutely loved it. I mean, again, showing his generosity right there. And there was something else, too, that I was thinking about. A few years ago, Sandy had Bernadette come to the station and pick me up. It was my birthday. And he had her pick me up in a brand new red Corvette. The top was down. You know, it had the wing doors. It looked like a Lamborghini, kind of. And we went out to lunch. We went driving all over Western New York and out to lunch. Not Sandy. He sent Bernadette and me because he couldn't get in the Corvette, but he wanted her to have it. And he needed, you know, her to go with somebody and drive around. And we had a blast again.
I just showed that
on
picture.
Sandy.
Yeah, too. That was a great, great. I remember, I'll never forget seeing that Corvette pull up to 500 Corporate Parkway. Good stuff.
Sandy Beach. I mean, that it's just, it's...
It's so sad. It's very heartbreaking.
Susan and Tim, I look at his age and you think to yourself, 86. I mean, that's what an incredible... There's nothing old about Sandy.
No.
There's always this young, you know, this fight, this tenacity. You know, you talk about all the things in radio. Sandy taught me a lot about money. Sandy taught me about business. Sandy taught me, like, you've got a radio contract. You, there are other things you can do than radio, and how you build your businesses out and how you take care of your family. His brain was, I mean, he was a businessman. He really was. He thought about things far, you know, what's going to happen after radio? What are you going to do after radio? His talent allowed him to carry on decades after people burn out in radio. But I look at 86 years of age and you think, wow, that's an incredible life and what a life well lived. But I see him as a young, like losing him at 86. I never put those numbers next to him because of the vitality that he showed every day. His voice, his wit, his intellect. It's heartbreaking.
And his laugh. Have you talked about his laugh? I mean,
that laugh. You know, everyone always accused him of faking that laugh.
No,
that's his laugh.
It is, and it's just infectious, contagious.
When we used to play press conferences on the radio during his show, I used to have to call the control room and say, "Turn his microphone off. Turn his microphone off, because we're going to hear him giggle. He's going to giggle in the middle of the presidential address."
You know, and you, I've heard, you know, there are people that fake voices that aren't real, stories that aren't real, laughs that aren't real. Everything about him, you know, if there's a testament to his legacy, it's and his longevity, it's sincerity. Right. And this was the man, this is who he was. There was nothing fake about it.
He retired 6 years ago. He was working until 80, you know, full time. And, you know, all that preparation, he full bore all the way. He was amazing. Absolutely
he could have
amazing.
Worked well past 80.
He didn't want to retire, I don't think.
No, he could have absolutely still done it. He was at the top of his game. Susan Rose, Tim Wenger, thank you so much.